Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from FPX Nickel, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FPX and on the OTCQB under the symbol FPOCF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Martin Turen. Now again, FPX Nickel is focused in the Dakar Nickel District. This is in central British Columbia. This nickel district has the Baptiste deposit, one of the largest undeveloped nickel deposits in the world. Also, this Van target. It's a relatively new target that the company just started drilling last year in 2021. And we had news that came out last week, May 24th, that outlines the step-out drill plans for this year at the Van target. Now, last year, I know initially you were drilling that target with already some pretty wide-spaced holes. This year, sounds like the step-outs are going to be just as wide-spaced again with a 8-to-10-hole program, about 3,000 meters, stepping out up to 1 kilometer, and all of these are stepping out away from the drilling from last year. Martin, what's the goal around this year's drilling at the Van target?
Thanks for having us on again, Corey. Well, it's important to note that this Van target really yielded a major new nickel discovery last year with that drilling. We already have at Baptiste, which is 6 kilometers away from Van. Baptiste is one of the world's largest nickel deposits. The initial drilling at Van showed that we have the potential here to delineate another very, very large nickel deposit within the land package at Dakar. The hypothesis with Van, even prior to the initial holes last year, was that it could ultimately potentially host a deposit that is larger and or higher grade than Baptiste. The initial results of the initial drilling last year certainly preserved that thesis, or that hypothesis, I suppose, and that is a hypothesis that we're going to continue to test with very aggressive step-out drilling to the west and to the south of where we drilled last year, starting here later this summer.
So now to the west and to the south, it looks like you have kind of isolated these areas. Two main areas, Area 1, Area 2. Is there one area that you're more excited about?
Yeah, so the total initial target size at this Van target was around 3 square kilometers. And that 3 square kilometers was defined by samples of outcrops. So that's bedrock coming to surface over approximately a 3 square kilometer area. Last year's drilling covered off the central and the eastern portion of that target area. But that left the entire sort of western part of that initial target wide open for drilling. So that's what's called sort of Area 2 in the figure in that news release. And that's where we see a lot of outcrop there and some very quite high grade DTR nickel outcrop, which we had always intended to kind of drill. The area that we've labeled as Area 1 is to the south of the drilling that we did last year. This is an area that is covered by overburden, so there's no outcrop available there. But the mineralizing trend that we saw in the best holes in the 2021 campaign suggests that we'll have strong nickel mineralization in this overburden-covered area. So that could expand the target size here from the initial sort of 3 square kilometers to something, you know, potentially quite a bit larger than that. So, you know, drilling through overburden, in some ways, that's the highest risk, highest reward. And so in some ways, that's the drilling that I'm most excited about here.
So even though we can say the discovery was made last year, it sounds like all of this drilling this year, the 3,000 meters, very much continued exploration. And I think you can even call it still discovery drilling, can't you?
Yeah, we don't know how large this ore body is yet. We really only, you know, had a 9-hole program last year. Again, they were very widely spaced. And, you know, the zone of mineralization we've defined in that drilling is, you know, just under one square kilometer. This year, we're stepping out as far as, you know, 1 kilometer to the west and, you know, something in the order of 500 meters or so to the south. And we're still just trying to wrap our arms around how big this deposit could be. And we may or may not find the extent of it with this drilling this year.
Oh, that's encouraging considering just how wide you are stepping out here. I know when we first started talking about this Van target, you were saying that if the theory plays out, it should be so consistent within what you're seeing in the drill core that it won't actually take too much drilling to issue a resource. It would be most likely a an inferred resource, but is that still the case? Do you think you could be issuing a resource, let's say not on the back of this program, but without too many meters being drilled?
We absolutely could. This is a very sort of disseminated, very homogeneously distributed style of nickel mineralization. And so we think that we'll certainly have a really robust geological model on the back of the completion of this summer's program. So that will be, you know, only around 6,000 meters drilled in total by the end of this summer, and potentially even enough for at least a sort of a back of the napkin internal resource estimate of sort of grade and tons. Certainly, you know, you're not often able to see something that could be in the hundreds of millions of tons in terms of the total scale, if not into the billions, that can be defined into even the inferred category on this low a number of meters. And that's really the benefit is of dealing with this disseminated style of mineralization.
So real quick before we move on from here, when is the drilling going to start in your estimation, and what is the budget for this program?
Yep, so the drilling will start in the latter part of June or potentially slide into the early part of July. Again, around 3,000 meters. You know, the all-in cost to execute on a program like that is relatively low, you know, something in the range of $1 million or just a little bit more. Again, you know, some of these holes will be helicopter-based, but most of it is skid-based, and we've got good access really throughout the target area with the exception of a couple of helicopter holes. So a relatively low-cost program to execute all the way through to inclusion of all the assaying costs, et cetera.
Okay, let's move on to the most recent news release, May 31st. It deals with FPX nickel. Testing continues to demonstrate potential for significant carbon mineralization at Baptiste Nickel Project. This is all about the company's goals for carbon sequestration. What are some of the key points that you want to highlight within this news?
Yeah, so this news, which came out on May 31st, really continues on, you know, a fairly steady stream of news releases we've had going back a couple of years now, demonstrating that our tailings have the ability to sequester a significant amount of carbon dioxide. The tailings are rich in magnesium minerals, in particular a magnesium hydroxide mineral known as brucite. And when brucite is exposed to CO2, it naturally reacts with that CO2 and forms a new carbonate mineral. That locks the carbon dioxide away in permanent mineral form. So it's an exciting aspect of our project, and it really speaks to our ability, we believe, to ultimately develop this as a carbon neutral nickel mining operation. So these latest results are, again, they just add to the data set, and they continue to demonstrate very consistent, you know, a sequestration of carbon dioxide in our tailings, and they continue to point the direction towards ultimately, you know, operationalizing this this concept within the overall development plan for the project.
The one thing you outlined to me before we started recording here was the type of material that was used for this sampling process. Take us through the material that was used, because this wasn't just cherry picked material, was it?
No, it's material that comes out of the back end of metallurgical test work that we've been doing here over the last couple of years, and it's very representative. That's the key word I would leave people with. It's very representative in terms of, you know, and the two main features with respect to representativity would be, one, the particle size of the tailings. So the particle size of the material that was tested here, it represents or is consistent with what you would see in a mining operation at Baptiste. And secondly, with respect to the content of the mineral brucite, that key reactive mineral with CO2. So in both the particle size and the brucite content, this is material that you would expect to be seeing at the back end of an operating, you know, plant site at Baptiste in years to come. And being able to get the results that we did on truly representative material is a very, very strong aspect and a very strong, positive indicator within these test results.
Now, I know some of these results are confusing for investors simply because, this is a bit of a different aspect of the company and a kind of a new aspect that investors are focused on, too, is making some of these projects a bit more green. One aspect I wanted to touch on was the point here that you made that majority of the sequestration occurred in the first quarter of the 14-day experiment. So the first 3.5 days, What's important about this sequestration happening quicker in the process?
It's important that the reaction here occurs quickly. You know, the worst case here would be that the reaction would be something that starts really slowly, and then the sequestration benefit is only kind of yields fruit sort of later over time. The fact that we've seen in this test work and in previous test work is that this reaction tends to happen very quickly. That is, as soon as the brucite is exposed to the CO2, you see that very quick uptake and that very quick sort of chemical reaction occurring. And so if you think about this from the standpoint of an operational tailings facility, within any mining operation, you're constantly adding a steady stream of new tailings on top of tailings that you would have previously deposed. And so the fact that the reaction occurs quickly means that you're able to maximize this phenomenon of carbon sequestration in the tailings. If it was the other way around, if it was happening very slowly, what you would have is the tailings being deposed, the reaction occurring at a very slower rate, then a new batch of tailings coming in over top of that previous batch, and you would get very little sort of net sequestration. Here, because the reaction happens quickly, we think that's going to maximize the overall amount of CO2 that you can conceptually sequester within our tailings facility. So the reaction happening quickly is a good thing.
What comes next then in terms of moving forward, learning more about what is possible here with the carbon sequestration on this project?
So the test work that we released on May 31st really spoke to this idea that you'd be injecting a point source of CO2 into the tailings, concentrated CO2 gas. We also have test work going on in parallel in the field where the tailings are sequestering CO2 passively from air. That's called direct air capture. So again, just sucking the CO2 naturally and spontaneously from the ambient atmosphere. So that test work will be wrapping up, and we'll have a series of news releases in the third and fourth quarter on that test work. And what this is ultimately building towards is in our next major stage of project study, we will include a robust estimate of how much CO2 we believe our tailings facility will sequester each year. That robust estimate will be something that kind of complies with the typical sort of standards, engineering standards that you would expect out of a PEA or out of a pre-feasibility study. And it'll be the first time that we really are able to put hand to heart and say, we think not just that we can sequester a quote unquote significant amount of carbon, but actually put a number to that. And ultimately that will help people understand how this could, in our view, be a carbon neutral nickel producer for many, many years to come.
All right, Martin, one last question before I get you out of here deals with cash in the bank. We all know that the market is tough for really every sector, so it's important to have cash in the bank. Where does FPX Nickel sit with cash?
Yeah, so we've got about 12.5 million Canadian in the bank right now, so we're fully funded to execute on all our work programs here through to the end of the year. So yeah, in a good position with respect to cash, and even in difficult markets, we know it's been a difficult market for wider markets, for the junior mining companies, and even for our share price in recent weeks, but we're not exposed to that in terms of any immediate need to fundraise.
Okay, Martin, thank you again for the update. I'll post a link to the FPX Nickel website where everyone can read over the recent news. And if you have any questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Martin, thank you again for the update. Please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks a lot, Corey.